Hi, and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
So, let's talk a little bit about our what we've been up to lately. And one thing that I stumbled upon that has become just my favorite thing in the world right now is this app called Suno. It's like a, well, it's a web app, so you go on their website. And you can just, it's like, we're in a brave new world when it comes to generative AI, and it's funny because you can just type in a prompt and then like a song style, and then it'll, like in 30 seconds, it'll write a full song with track and somebody singing it, and it's like 10 bucks a month. So I'm like, yeah, this is my entertainment for now.
10 bucks a month? I mean, you've sent me some of these songs, and I've been thoroughly enjoying them. It scares me because AI is taking over the world slowly, but I am enjoying these funny lyrics and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're very basic lyrics. They're not like super detailed love ballads or anything like that, but they are very entertaining.
They remind me of, like, the opening theme songs back in, like, the 90s, you know? Like, when the show starts and it would just be, like, the credits or whatever, and then people would come out and pose.
Yeah. I miss that. Like, we don't have that anymore with sitcoms. You saw that a lot in the 80s and the 90s where, you know, I'll be playing the song, and then it shows the cast, and then their name shows up underneath them. But then they're usually doing, like, some kind of mundane task, but then like as their name shows up, they turn to the camera and smile and stuff.
Yeah, you gotta like stop what you're doing and then smile and pose.
Exactly. Like on Family Matters, it shows Eddie like, you know, puffing his car or whatnot, then it shows his actor name, and then he looks up and he smiles and does the pose.
Oh man, they need to bring that back.
If you really want to see something funny, and you can see the whole thing on YouTube, you just reminded me of it. It was a parody, I think, Adult Swim did, called Too Many Cooks.
Yes, yeah. And then it goes crazy at the end.
Yeah. So, like, the whole thing is them just making fun of, like, an 80s style or late 80s, early 90s style sitcom. But, like, the intro just keeps going, and they just keep introducing new characters to the show, and the credits are just going on forever, and then all of a sudden it takes like a dark turn and becomes like a horror film.
Yeah, I think that didn't it originally air like at midnight or something like that, some weird time?
Yeah, but it made me laugh when I first saw it. I was like, okay, this is clever.
Oh yeah, because you don't expect the twist.
You don't expect the twist, but just meta, you know, them making fun of how those sitcom intros used to be and whatnot. And it's just like, you think the show is going to stop, or you think the intro is going to stop and the show is going to start. Then all of a sudden it just picks up again and goes like, too many cooks, doo-doo-doo-doo. And then like all of a sudden it just starts introducing more cast members.
Yeah, and I think like some of the cast members change, like the dad changes. And they, like, mm-hmm. introduce the new dad, but, like, same character name, but, like, new actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they have, like, allusions to other sitcoms in there. So, like, Roseanne. So there's a part where they are at, like, a kitchen table. And then it's almost like there's a camera on the Lazy Susan spinning and seeing all the characters. Like you'd see in the intro to Roseanne. So it's funny, but then like they'll change the theme every now and again to where it's like a police procedural, but then it gets all weird too, because like they introduce, like they show the guy, the cop putting a coat on a coat hanger. All of a sudden the coat has a face and they introduce like the actor there and he smiles at the camera. And yeah, it's, if you haven't seen it, go to YouTube and look up Too Many Cooks. It is hysterical.
Oh yeah. That was back when, like, Adult Swim was really nailing it.
Yeah, when Adult Swim was firing on all cylinders. Oh, man. I know we always talk about nostalgia. And granted, King of the Hill was kept alive by Adult Swim for a while after King of the Hill went off the air.
Wait, was King of the Hill on Adult Swim?
Yes, after King of the Hill went off the air, Adult Swim picked it up and started playing it. Maybe a year or two later. And that's actually, if I'm not mistaken, the four episodes that never aired originally in the original run did air on Adult Swim.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Is Cartoon Network owned by Fox?
No, it's owned by, what's it called? It's owned by Paramount, Viacom.
So they must have just licensed out or whatever when it got syndicated, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, I think that's what happens. Like, they always play Family Guy and Simpsons. Well, I don't know about Simpsons.
Cartoon Network, right? It's so weird. I feel like everything's so spread out now. Or back then, it was like everything was on every channel. And yeah. Now everything is like everywhere on streaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't know. I do miss the old Adult Swim. Maybe not. Yeah, I haven't. I mean, honestly, I don't have cable. I have not had cable or satellite in many, many, many years. So I do not even remember. Like, I have no idea what's on TV right now. Aside from when people are like, oh, I watched Love Island or I watched, Succession or whatnot. And people are talking about it. But I have no idea what actually runs.
Yeah, I don't like Love Island. Are you watching Love Island, Jason? Secretly?
No, I have a friend though who watches it pretty religiously, and they're always like bringing me up to date on it. So,
I have never seen Love Island. I've heard a lot about it, but I don't know. Those people are too hot for me. I want to see Ordinary Island, Ordinary Love Island.
Mad TV once had a sketch years and years ago. When, remember when they had, in, like, the early days of reality TV show in, like, the early 2000s, they had these TV shows like Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire or The Billionaire Bachelor and random things like that. So they made a parody called Just Like the Ordinary Bachelor, and it was, like, a guy in his mid-40s who was, like, an accountant. You know, he had a little weight on him, he was wearing a cardigan, he lived in, like, a modest apartment, and it was just, like, all the women are trying to, like, win him over. I was like, you know what? That would actually be a more interesting show if you just had, like, a regular dude as the bachelor.
Oh, yeah. Like, all these people are either super rich or super hot. Well, the bachelor is always rich, right? Like, there always usually has something going for them. And then the women are just, like, super hot. It kind of bores me. I need average working middle class people.
Yeah. Just like go to a random park or something and find people and be like, these are the new bachelor contestants.
Congratulations, you are the bachelor now. Would you ever want to be on The Bachelor?
No.
No, I think it sounds somewhat enticing. I don't know. I mean, I don't believe you could fall in love. Well, I mean, now we're totally off topic, but I hear, like, everything is super manufactured, like...
Of course it is.
The way that they set you up and everything makes you, like... It, like super speeds the, like, dating process, so... I don't know.
Yeah, they're making a TV show. They're not, like, trying to really make anybody fall in love or anything like that. Yeah, it's all about entertainment, so it's like, whatever. I don't think I ever want to be in any reality TV show, to be honest. Like, the only exception might be a game show, because I do have a dream of being on Jeopardy or something similar to that. Beyond that, I don't really want to, like, I don't want to be on Survivor, where people are watching my every move and putting it on camera or anything like that, so...
Oh, I want to be on... I love Survivor. I want to be on Survivor so bad. I feel like we could do The Amazing... What do you think about doing The Amazing Race together? I think that'd be fun. You love traveling. It could
work. Yeah. So, I could make it work.
I think that would be fun to do The Amazing Race together. But what is that new Jeopardy called? Pop Culture Jeopardy?
Yeah.
I think we could do that. We just need... Do we need three people... Can we just go?
Yeah, that is a requirement.
Because you got to find the right third person, you know, that fits your groove.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, man. Yeah, Pop Culture Jeopardy. If anyone's listening and wants to be a Pop Culture Jeopardy with us, let us know. And also, if you have an in getting into Pop Culture Jeopardy, let us know.
Yeah, if you happen to know Colin Jost, he might be able to make it happen.
Yeah,
I think we could, if we work together, I think we could pull it off. Like, if we just know what our pop culture areas are. Oh, if they do King of the Hill, we will knock that out of the park.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, King of the Hill, maybe a Full Metal Alchemist. I feel like we've deep dived into that, if you guys haven't listened to that podcast.
Yeah. That would be funny if we were like in third place on Final Jeopardy, and then the question is like an obscure King of the Hill question, and we're just like, yes, this is our moment.
Oh man, I'm trying to think. Obscure King of the Hill, that would be. I've seen some pretty easy questions on pop culture Jeopardy, though.
I think it's relative. Like, if you're really up to date on pop culture, then it's super easy. I think if you aren't up to date on pop culture, it will be very difficult.
Yeah, there was an easy question the other day. I saw it on TikTok or Instagram Reels. But now I can't remember. They were supposed to name three characters, and then they couldn't get the characters right. Man, it's going to haunt me now. But, yeah, maybe we'll get a King of the Hill. We could just run the board on that.
Yep. Just all King of the Hill questions.
Oh, that'd be great. A Fox animation question thing? I think we could do pretty well.
Yeah, I think we can knock it out. But I guess we should go ahead and talk about King of the Hill here.
Sure.
And, yeah, brush up on our trivia. Because we have, like, 10 episodes that we need to, like, really deep dive and pick apart so that we got all the trivia on it. But let's go ahead and talk about episode 4, which actually does have references to reality TV. So that's going to be fun. So this episode is called Chore No More. It's episode 4 of season 14, so still in the revival. So Hank is in retirement, and he has no idea what to do with his life at this point in time, which I think is a very common thing for people who retire. He is just looking for random chores to pass the time. So we see him like going up, climbing up the ladder, and he's going to clean the gutters, but his gutters are already clean. There's like one leaf in there, and then the wind blows it away, so he has nothing to do. So then he's like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, WD-40 the hinges on all of the cabinets in the house, but they're already pretty loose and, you know, don't need it. So then we see him in the bathroom, and he's running the sinks, because, you know, they have the dual sink bathroom. And he determines that, like, I guess the drain is taking a little too long to empty out. So he fixes it, and he comes into the living room to tell Peggy, hey, I shaved 0.4 seconds out of your drain time. So Peggy obviously doesn't care, because it's like, who cares? 0.4 seconds, whatever. But she's watching TV, and she's like, come on, Hank, just, you don't have to do something all the time. Just sit here and watch TV. It's 10:30 on a Tuesday. And he's like, well, we don't live in an opium den. So, you know, it's just Hank's work ethic. He always has to be doing something. They're watching a TV show called The Makeup Bake-Up. And it's one where they work out all their issues while baking. Oh, and they're naked. And it's just kind of funny because they're openly talking about, sleeping with each other and wanting to sleep, the guy's wanting to sleep with the girl's sister, and then the girl talks about having a UTI, and Hank is incredibly uncomfortable. He's just like, why are these people just openly talking about stuff like that? Where then Peggy's like, yeah, it's terrible, but then she just turns up the volume, so she's really entranced in it. Doorbell rings, and Hank springs up to answer. It is Boomhauer, and Hank's like, hey, I got your message. You said you needed a nail gun. I have 5 different nail guns, so if you want to borrow one, I need you to be more specific. Boomhauer mentions that he's using this app called Chore Chimp, which, yeah, I guess is like the in-universe version of, say, like TaskRabbit or Handy, where your handymen can, you know, get jobs and gig economy type thing. And Hank's like, oh, so wait, with this app, you could be a handyman when you want to be? Oh, that sounds like heaven on earth. And so Hank asks Boomhauer if he needs help, and Now, Boomhauer's like, nah, I got this, man. But Hank's like, oh, well, if you insist. And he's like, and then he leaves. Hey, Peggy, I'm going with Boomhauer. And they take off.
I love that, like, when Hank finish. Well, first of all, you fix a faucet's drainage. If your drain isn't really clogged, can you make it go any faster? Isn't it just, like, gravity at this point?
Yeah, I'm not the person to ask, because I know very little about plumbing. I don't know what he did to improve the drainage, but...
Because I would bet, like, $1 million that Hank's drain is not, like, any gunked up at all.
Oh, yeah, he probably cleans it, like, every weekend just for fun, even if it doesn't need it.
I also love, like, after he does it, he's like, Peggy, come brush your teeth quick. The drain. Like, he's like, I have a task for you to do as well. Like, don't just come see the drain. He's like, you gotta brush your teeth now.
I love Peggy's response. She just doesn't care. But then she's also, like, trying to help Hank, because it's like, look, you're retired. You don't need to be doing something at all points of the day. You can just relax. That's the whole point of retiring.
Okay, you already said you didn't want to be on any reality shows, but what is it called? Makeup and Bake Up?
The Makeup Bake Up.
The Makeup Bake Up. Would you want it, like, I don't know. This could be interesting. I'm a baker. Maybe I would go on. I don't have anyone to make up with. But I can't bake up in the nude, I guess. That sounds dangerous, though.
It does sound dangerous to cook while you're naked, but it just sounds like they're trying to combine, like, all of the different reality TV shows in there. So you have like the Great British Bake Off, and also that's all a British, because it's a British show. And then you have Naked and Afraid, and then you also have, like, maybe a Big Brother type thing in there. So it's like they're trying to combine all of the different genres into one fake TV show.
Though, I mean, like, I feel like that would be, like, okay, besides the nudity part, I do think that could be, like, a good show to, like, test people's... Have you ever played this game called Overcooked?
Yes.
Yeah, that will test your relationship with people. So I feel like this show, they're onto something with this show. So there is a thing.
I could agree. I think that would be an interesting thing. Or if they had a show where you and your partner had to assemble IKEA furniture or something, that'd be an interesting thing to watch.
Oh man, that'd be with no instructions.
With no instructions, of course.
And then you're like, what are these five pieces that I'm... You're always left with, like, two screws. I know they get you extra ones, but it's always concerning.
Yeah, I always think that, too. I know they... Like, I know they give you extra ones, but I'm always like, is this going to fall apart because I forgot to put a screw in somewhere?
Oh, man. But I'm also like, I want Hank Hill as an... I feel like you've thought about this, too, like, Hank Hill as a neighbor would probably be really handy. He's got, what would you say, four nail guns? Or five?
Five.
Five different nail guns? That's the person you want living across from you. Like, you don't need to, like, go get any tool anymore. You can just borrow it from Hank. He might, yeah. You can't even borrow it, though. He would just come over and help you do whatever you needed to do.
Exactly. Well, and I think that's why he likes this. And honestly, I thought there was a possibility, like, before I saw any of the episodes, when they were talking about doing a revival, there would be an 8-year time skip, and it would take place in kind of a modern day, so kind of in the 2020s. I thought to myself, there is no way they're not going to have an episode where Hank either decides to do like an Uber just to get out of the house, or Peggy decides to do Uber, or Hank does like a TaskRabbit handy type thing where he just goes around and repairs stuff.
Okay, can you imagine Peggy is your Uber driver? I don't know. I feel like no talk is not an option in that car.
Well, she'll take you to the wrong place too. Just like you'll tell her you want to go to a specific restaurant, she'll be like, Peggy Hill says this restaurant is better, and she'll drop you off there.
After a tour of Arlen, like...
Mm-hmm. So speaking about restaurants, we see Robotic Chain. Bobby is trying to figure out how to craft the perfect text to Connie, and he's asking for help from Emilio, and is like, our emojis played out, our period's bad, and Emilio's like, how are you just so bad at this? He's like, I only text 60, 70-year-old women who are meat suppliers. I'm not used to texting single ladies. Amelia looks at the phone. He's like, man, there are paragraphs with spaces. Keep it simple, man. I'm loving Emilio because he's just so... He's like one of my favorite new characters.
I just love Bobby's response to that. He's like, it's easy on the eyes. Like, the paragraphs are easy on the eyes.
Yep.
But when does Bobby become, like, an old man? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was so hip with it as a kid. I just feel like...
He's focused on running the business.
It's true, but man... I don't know. I'm guilty of that, too, though. Writing, like, really long texts... I'll just delete them after I've looked at it and be like, no, this is too much.
Yep. So Connie comes in. It looks like it was not planned. She just kind of shows up. And so Bobby kind of gets shocked, and Emilio believes in him and is trying to, like, you know, really play him up, say, like, oh, you know, it says the catch of the day is halibut, but this guy is the catch of the day. Bobby meets Connie and tries to figure out why she's here, but it turns out Connie is here with Chain, who she is dating. It's funny because... Chain's still Chain. He's a jerk, so he makes a backhanded compliment about, oh, you know, I couldn't fire you even if I wanted to, but my dad could. We go to the job site, and Hank is building the deck. Like, that is the task they wanted to do, which is way beyond a TaskRabbit stance. Maybe they're just, like, repairing the deck and not actually building it. Boomhauer is chatting with the woman. She's talking about, you know, she's laid off and she's worried about losing the house. And, you know, he's giving advice and whatnot. But Hank is focused on the actual task. When they're completed, they get 5 bananas. And then Hank's like, I hate bananas. It's monkey food. But he's trying to explain, no, this is like the rating system. Instead of 5 stars, it's 5 bananas. Boomhauer has a perfect 5 rating. And it's like, it makes sense because he does great work and he's great to talk to. But Hank's like, I did all the work, kind of under his breath, but he wants to keep the teamwork going. We're back at Robota Chain, and Bobby is trying to feel out what's going on. So he's like, oh, so what are you, why are you doing here? Celebrating an anniversary? 2 months, 3 months, 4 months? Or, you know, if you have leftovers, don't worry, you can take it home. Do you need 1 box or 2? Were you both up late last night? It was just kind of funny, so... I kind of liked juxtaposing Hank and Boomhauer in that situation, because Boomhauer was like talking and having, you know, having a conversation, whereas Hank was just focused on the task at hand. And that, I think, I feel like that definitely relates, or not relates, but signifies both of their personalities, that, you know, Hank is not a talker and he's focused.
Did you think this was like a thing where Boomhauer just slept with the women? That's what I felt like in the beginning.
I mean, that's in the realm of possibility. They never explicitly say that, but...
Yeah, not that it's like set up for that, but like, you know, he does the jobs, but he just happens... You know how Boomhauer is, or how he used to be.
I mean, he is in like a committed relationship now, so I doubt that's the case, but... You know, I think it's possible that what's actually happening is that since Hank's doing the work, I think he actually does the work when it's just him, but he also talks. But now that Hank's with him, he just does the talking while Hank does the working.
Which I think is perfect. Can people be teams on those kind of apps? Can you get a team?
No idea. I've used TaskRabbit quite a few times to get stuff built out in my place, and it's always just been one guy, so.
Do they talk a lot? Do you tell them your problems?
No, I actually just kind of leave them to their own devices while I go and do my thing.
How many bananas? Is it carrots on that? I've never used it before. Do you give them carrots?
Nah, it's stars. Nah. But it's just stars. But I always, I'm always like, okay, I'm going to be in this room while they go and do the cleaning. Or not cleaning, but, you know, assembling whatever it is I need them to assemble. Mm. We're at another job site, and Hank is cleaning the gutters, which these gutters are very dirty. And, you know, he's up on the ladder, and Boomhauer's down on the ground, and Boomhauer's talking to the homeowner and chatting up, and, you know, Hank is doing the work, and all of a sudden, the homeowner kind of knocks over the ladder a little bit, and the bucket falls off the roof and hits Boomhauer on the head. And he falls to the ground, and, you know, Hank's like, oh, you know... I used to play football, and also Bobby used to do contact improv, so I know a concussion when I see it. We're back at the Hill House, and Peggy's like, oh, I didn't have any ice packs or frozen peas, so these frozen diced potatoes will have to do. And then Bill asks if he can have some. Peggy's like, no. And Bill's like, well, fortune favors the bold. Bill's like, is Boomhauer going to be slow forever? And Hank's like, no, he's going to be fine. And Dale's like, you know, ancient peoples used to give themselves concussions as it brings them closer to God. And Hank's like, that doesn't sound like it's true. Well, we have to keep an eye on him for 24 hours per the doctor. Boomhauer all of a sudden gets one of the chore chimp alerts. Somebody hired him. And so Hank's like, I'll fill in. Boomhauer doesn't really want him to, but Hank insists.
Yeah, well, Boomhauer doesn't want Hank because he knows Hank. I feel like it is the mixture of the talking that gives him the five bananas, which I think he holds very precious to himself.
Well, also, it's like, I wouldn't say it's his livelihood. I think it's just a gig thing that Boomhauer does to earn extra money and just keep himself occupied. So it's not like if he lost the gig, he would be destitute or anything like that. But I think he really enjoys it, and he doesn't want to have somebody else screw up his ratings.
Yeah. Also, once those potatoes are defrosted, you cannot once you defrost the food, you can't really refreeze it. It's not the same. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, she should have just given Bill the potatoes. Unless they had plans for those potatoes that need.
Yeah, maybe they're going to make some home fries.
That sounds good.
At Robota Chain, Emilio asks Bobby how his heart is doing. And, you know, Bobby is, he's trying to take it like a champ. And Connie comes into the kitchen. And Emilio's just being a very good friend, trying to talk up Bobby, mentioning that Bobby is the catch of the day. And, you know, Connie is not really enjoying her date with Chain because he's talking about all of his frat pranks, which kind of sound like crimes. You know, Bobby's trying to speak up for Chain. He's like, you know, Chain, deep down, he's a good guy. He's just very insecure. He overcompensates it by behaving this way to feel better about himself because of all the pressure his dad puts on him. And Connie kind of understands that. And it's like, oh, yeah, I understand all the dad stuff. And Connie leaves. And then and then Emilio's like, you're a good man. Dumb, but good. Which, it's like, okay, I get it. Because, like, you know, you're talking up this other guy when it's clear that you want to be with her. But, you know, whatever. Bobby did what he did. Hank goes to this new job site. And as he walks up, he's like, huh, I might just refinish their shutters for free, which is a very Hank thing to say. He shows up and he's like, hey, I'm here to hang your curtain rod. And it's young parents. And they're like, wait, you're Boomhauer? He's like, I'm Boomhauer's replacement. And I'm at least, you know, I'm as good, if not better than him. Because she's like, oh, are you as good as Boomhauer? And he's like, yes, I'm better. So he goes in and, you know, they're trying to chat with him because they have a newborn baby. And, you know, they're like, oh, the father's worried about the future of the baby and stuff. And they mentioned that they haven't had sex in a while. And woman's like, oh, it's been 62 days. Broke my vibrator. And Hank under his breath's like, I'm not going to fix that. And then they mention that they post parenting videos on their YouTube channel, but they haven't posted yet. And things are so hard, they're thinking they might just give up the channel. And, you know, there's a small part of them that regrets having kids. And they ask if, you know, this is normal. They ask Hank if this is normal. And Hank just deflects and he talks about how the rod is telescopic. And, you know, there's like, oh, there's actually one rod and small side of the other rod. And it works just like the telescopes do and stuff. In the end, he winds up only getting two bananas.
I don't think that's fair.
Yeah.
He did if it's a Hank we know, those curtains were, like, hung very well.
Exactly. Like, that. This is what upsets me about the episode, because I've used, and granted, maybe I'm the atypical person, but I've used TaskRabbit, and the only thing I care about is, are you respectful of my property? Like, are you, you know, ruining stuff when you're in my place, and did you get the job done? That's all I care about. If you did both of those things, you're getting 5 stars. I don't care if you chatted with me or not.
Yeah, it's not therapy, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I guess it makes sense. Like, maybe I'm atypical or something, but maybe there are people out there who will do that where they think about it. Like, I have a pretty decent rating on Uber, but I know some people have a better rating than me, and I was talking to them like, how do you get a better rating? Like, I'm very quiet in the car. I'm respectful. I always come out on time. I never mess anything up, bring food into the car, anything like that. It's like, well, do you talk to the driver? I'm like, I rarely do. If they engage me, I'll usually talk. But if they don't, then I won't say anything. And they're like, "Oh, you got to talk to the driver." And I was like, I didn't even realize that was a thing. But
But what if they don't want to be talked to? You know? Like,
yeah.
really? Like, then you talk to them and they annoyed them. So they're gonna. I just feel like we're here for the task. Let us. If we all completed the task, we get the max.
Exactly.
Now I'm curious about my Uber score.
So back home, Hank is just like, I don't understand why I got the two bananas. The curtain rods were hung so perfectly that you could do a chin up on them. And he's like, I did the job that they asked, and there was a baby crying, and they asked a lot of questions. And Peggy was like, well, they just wanted somebody to talk to. Hank's like, well, I'm not a therapist. And Peggy says, well, for young people, anybody could be a therapist. You look at these reality TV shows. My friend's my therapist. My sister's my therapist. My dog's my therapist. And Hank's like, well, my job wasn't to give advice. It was to hang a curtain. But then Peggy points out, well, Boomhauer's rating is probably so high because people like to talk to him. And Hank's like, well, I'm sorry, I'm not Mr. Personality. Which is, I guess makes sense for Hank. He's a very, very, I don't want to say recluse, but a closed off person. So we go back to Bobby's place. Bobby and Joseph are watching a TV show. Well, not a TV show, watching a show called The Adulterers. Basically, what they do is they go out on their balcony, they look at the neighbors across the way, and just kind of dub on their conversation and pretend that they're like having a torrid affair or whatever. And it's not even clear to me if they're just like a normal couple or if they're having an affair, but whatever, that's just how they're having fun. And they're talking, and all of a sudden the curtain's closed, so everything is over. So Joseph then asked Bobby, hey, were you mad at me earlier? You sent me a text that was, Joseph, we need to talk, period. And then Bobby's freaking out, like, oh, see, I didn't realize period made him look angry. So he mentioned that, Connie came into the restaurant. She was on a date with Chain. Joseph's like, oh, did you slap Connie's name out of his mouth? And Bobby was saying, no, I just really want to be friends with Connie. But of course, so Joseph doesn't believe Bobby, of course. All of a sudden, Connie texts Bobby to join him for karaoke, and Bobby's kind of freaking out. So Joseph writes the text back. So yeah, this is Peggy is pointing out the truth that, Hank is probably didn't do so well because they wanted to talk to him and he didn't. But again, I'm gonna go back to my point. That's not the task he was hired for.
I love that though when he's like, "Was it? I could do a chin up on that bar." And then Peggy's like, "I could do two." But yeah, again, he did the job that he needed to do. Like, did those curtains fall after he left? I don't think so. So also, I feel like it's inappropriate to like engage with a stranger in that kind of conversation.
Though apparently, and I don't know how true or false this is, apparently with younger generations like Gen Z or whatnot, they're a bit more open than previous generations were. I mean, you even started to see that with our generation, millennials, like in the early days of Facebook, where people would just like trauma dump their entire problems. I mean, I've watched people argue and break up in real time in like in a comments on Facebook and stuff. So I think with this newest generation, Gen Z, I think they're a little more comfortable with this stuff.
I mean, I'll trauma dump 100%, but I not before I say hello. Like, I gotta get to know each other a little bit, and then I can just go at it. But like, Hank's like, it's like trauma dumping to your like a McDonald's drive-thru person.
Exactly. Sir, this is a Wendy's.
Yeah.
Hank returns to that first job site that he did alone. He wants to figure out why he didn't get five bananas. And basically, he talks about how, when he used to sell propane and propane accessories, he always believed in going the extra mile to make sure the customer was happy. So he will do some more chores for free to earn the five. And so the couple is like, okay, we got some stuff for you to do. And so they start talking about breastfeeding. And Hank tries to open up and talks about how Bobby used to be fussy and Bobby wouldn't latch on. It was really hard on Peggy, and Peggy thought that she might not be fit to be a mother. But you know what? In time, she became the best mother in Texas. And they're like, oh, thanks, Hank. And it's like, oh, I think she had a UTI too, which was like a really weird thing for him to just drop, but okay.
Didn't she mention she had a UTI or something like that?
I know that TV show said it, the makeup
Okay, maybe
bake-up,
that's what I
so
was thinking about. I thought she said she. She was getting a huge. It is also
Yep.
a weird thing to just. Maybe it's because Hank was thinking of that episode. And I was like.
So we're at a karaoke bar called A Lone Star Is Born. Bobby shows up. Connie's there. She's already ordered shots and he's wondering where Chain is. Like, oh, it's not Chain. It's, he's not coming. So he's like, okay, cool. So Connie and Bobby go up on stage. And this is a nice little flashback because they sing How Do I Live Without You by Trisha Yearwood. And then it gives us a flashback to the episode Love Hurts and So Does Art when they are dancing to that song together. And I think that was like their first dance together. And Bobby goes in for a kiss, but is interrupted by a woman named Ola, who is Connie's roommate. Connie is trying to, connect them, and Bobby's not really happy about that. Back at the Hill House, Hank is like, oh, I did a great job with that grout. Now, once it's done, they can use a damp cloth to get the grout haze off. And all of a sudden, he gets a little chime on the phone, and he sees that he got five bananas. And oh, in the comments, they posted a YouTube video. Hank goes and looks at it, and it's the family who talks about how great of a job Hank did, and how Hank talked about how Peggy struggled with breastfeeding and she had a UTI. And then they're like, hashtag UTI gang, hashtag Peggy. And so Hank panics and throws the phone, and Peggy is upset at Hank. Not necessarily because, I mean, yes, because Hank shared personal stories about her, but Peggy was more upset that Hank was so afraid to reveal something about himself. And Hank just mentions that he's not good at opening up. Bobby is at the karaoke restaurant and they're talking about Japan ermine food to describe his mix of food. Connie gets up to get drinks and, Ola and Bobby are looking at a couple and Ola's like, oh, I bet they met on an app. And Bobby's like, yeah. And she's like, you know what? Last year I went on 100 first dates and 3 second dates. And he's like, yeah, you got to ask all those first date questions, like, what is your favorite kind of sauce? And Bobby's like, I'm sorry, I'm just not good at this. I haven't been as many dates as you have. And Ola's like, no, that's chill. I think you're cute. And Bobby's like, I'm just so busy with the restaurant. I don't think I'll meet my soulmate on my app. But, I think it's one of those things that when I know her, I'll see her. And, he's kind of looking at Connie. I mean, there's no kind of there. He's definitely looking at Connie. Ola wants to take Bobby home to sleep with, but then Bobby rejects it and is like, nah, I need to get back to the restaurant. And, he tries to mention to Ola that, I think you're very attractive and smart. And she's like, no, it's cool, Bobby. You're just too nice. You're fine. I'm good. So Bobby leaves before Connie returns with the drinks. So obviously, two stories here. You have the Bobby story and the Hank story. I think Peggy was absolutely right to be upset because Hank shared a personal story about her when he should have shared one about himself. But also, like, they shouldn't have put that on YouTube either, so.
Well, what do you expect from that couple? I mean, they just overshared right away to Hank, so of course they're gonna.
That's true.
I don't know. It is weird that they. I love how Hank thinks it's about the curtains, though. That, and it's just. Yeah, I mean, Peggy took it very well. I feel like just like having all her stuff. I mean, it could have been worse. I don't think the story wasn't as bad as it could have been.
Yeah, he seemed more at she seemed more angry about the fact or that he didn't share a story versus that he shared a story about her, though she, he wasn't happy about that either. She was not happy about that either, but it seemed like that upset her more. And then, Bobby, it was cute seeing them, like, seeing quote unquote their song, the first song they danced to way back when, seeing kind of that flashback. And then, of course, Connie's trying to hook Bobby up with Ola, or at least introduce them and whatnot. And they kind of hit it off. Granted, I think your standards are, or you're not as picky when you're in 21 versus when you're, in your 30s, 40s, whatever. But they kind of hit it off, and it's clear that Bobby. It's not so much that Bobby doesn't like her as much as it is that he just still holds a flame for Connie. And so he just can't, like, mentally get past that fact.
I don't. Well, sorry. There's a couple questions I have. First, I wonder how long they were together, you know?
So Squirrel Tactics actually did a video on that where they break down, because there's 13 seasons of, the original run of King of the Hill, and people always talk about, oh, Bobby and Connie should be back together. And Squirrel Tactics actually brought up that actually, like, I think it was either 2 or 3 seasons of the entire show were they an actual couple. So the vast majority of the show, they weren't together.
But did they end together?
No, they broke up. I want to say season 8. I can't remember which season it was. It was the one where Khan bribes Bobby to break up with Connie and they fake break up and whatnot. I can't remember exactly what season it is, but it wasn't. They were broken up by then. They'd been broken up for a few seasons by the time the series ended.
Yeah, so it just is interesting that Bobby is holding on to this so much for kind of like young love. Also, like, he's slept around, I feel like, right? In the first episode.
Yes and no. I think when the opportunity presents himself, he goes for it, but he's also making it clear that he doesn't date a lot.
Well, I mean, like, not like boom, like, not like he's a serial, like, sleeper or whatever. But, like...
He's been with other women, yes.
You know? So, I feel like... I don't know. It's just kind of interesting. Maybe they haven't seen each other in so long that I just brought up the feelings.
Probably. There's something about young love, you know? And I think he still holds a flame for her because he's remembering the good times.
Yeah. Also, I don't like to be ambushed on, like, a date. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
Connie should have told him what she was doing.
So, that has always been one of my points of... pain, so to speak. I don't know if I want to actually call it a point of pain, but like when you, it always upsets me in general, like when you plan to hang out with somebody and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, by the way, I invited so and so, like when you show up and it's like, oh, I thought we were going to hang or whatever. Like if you wanted to invite them, you should have told me ahead of time or something like that. And it would be even worse if it was like, oh, I want to introduce you to so, like, give me a heads up, like at least so I can be dressed properly if it's going to be kind of a date or something, like, you know, things like that.
Yeah, like, because it was just like, first he thought Chain was going to be there, and then he wasn't, and then he thought it was just going to be the two of them. She should kind of open with, like, oh, my roommate's going to be joining us later, or something like that. Or said it was going to be a get-together of some sort.
Exactly, she should have just said, oh, yeah, by the way, I'd like to introduce you to my friend, or something like that, but... They're young. They're still learning.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to figure it out later. I mean, we're close, but we're going to figure out her reasoning in a minute. But I still think a heads up is great. Because you know, if you were like, hey, let's hang out, and I come over to hang out, I might dress a little more casual because I think it's just you. But then if you're like, oh, there's someone I wanted to introduce you to, well, now I'm like super cash, you know? Like, what if I don't want that to be my first impression?
Exactly, because you're gonna behave or plan differently for, you know, a friend than you would with somebody you're gonna just meet.
Yeah, but... a potential date. Yeah, I get you. I think Bobby handled it very well. Also, like,
yeah,
I don't know. What was her name again?
Ola.
She's giving me mixed signals, you know? Is she just trying to hook up, or is she trying to, like, date?
That's true. Probably. I mean, when you're that young, especially nowadays, a lot of people... Yeah, I think nowadays a lot of young people kind of don't use labels, so to speak, when they're dating. Like, we're just dating. We're not a thing. We're not a couple. We're not an official couple or anything like that. Like, that's common nowadays, too, so...
Yeah, I just feel like... They were getting to, because it was kind of like a little cute meetup when they're bringing out like, oh, I've done these dates, and then just like the questions you have to ask. So I thought, oh, maybe there's going to be a spark here. And then Bobby says that thing, and then she's kind of just like, do you want to sleep together?
Yeah. Well, at least Bobby, you know, had the mind to just say, okay, no, which I think is fair, like, because he's clearly holding the flame for Connie. And so it wouldn't be fair to her. I mean, granted, if she's just like, let's just hook up for the sake of hooking up, then it's like nobody's feelings are going to get hurt necessarily. But, you know, at the same time, he's like, I don't have feelings for you. I have a flame for Connie. I mean, he doesn't say that, but that's what he's thinking. So,
yeah.
So back at the Hill House, Hank comes into the bedroom with a staple gun. And Peggy's like, why do you have a staple gun? And Hank's like, you know, when Bobby came home, I was scared. I didn't know what to do. He needed a diaper change, and I was at a loss. You were already sleeping, so I just took this staple gun and staple his diaper closed. And then Hank's like, there you go, I told you an embarrassing story, so we're even. Peggy didn't think that they were even, because Peggy was like, no, I want you to open up to me. Like, not tell this, you know, silly story. I want you to open up. It's clear there's something wrong with you, or there's something going on that you're not telling me. You know, you're always going out the door on some kind of chore or something like that. And Hank's like, what do you want me to say? That I feel like I have no purpose? That I just want to feel useful? That I'm scared that I'll never feel satisfied unless I'm working? Well, I'm not going to tell you that because that's just not how I am. I'm from a different generation. I don't open up like this. And it's funny because he's opening up without opening up. Peggy's like, oh, I feel the same way too. I just don't know what to do with retirement. But, you know, we got to talk about it and work through it. And then Peggy mentions, by the way, I always knew about the staple gun because I saw the holes in the crib from when you removed the staples. I do like that Hank indirectly opened up. Like, he didn't open up probably the best way, but he did. And I guess for Hank, that is an acceptable way to open up.
I feel like the sharing of the story was sweet. I mean, like, it's like baby steps. You know what I mean? Like, Hank's taking a small step towards you, so it was good. But Peggy was able to get, you know, something out of him, of course. I love how she didn't tell him that she knew about the staples in the crib.
Yeah, I think she's just trying to save his feelings, may not make him feel embarrassed. It's nice that he did open up in his own way about how he just feels like he's not useful because he's busy.
Mm.
We wrap up this episode at Bobby's place. Bobby shows up at home, and then Joseph's like, hey, somebody's here to see you. He looks out to the balcony, and there's Connie. So he goes out to the balcony, and it's like, how did you find out where I lived? And she's like, oh, Joseph told me. She said she wanted to say that she was sorry. She didn't mean to ambush him with the girl. She just really thought it'd be cool if they hit it off, and they could just, you know, they could all hang out together then. She really wants to be Bobby's friend, and Bobby's like, oh, you know what? That's really what I want to do, too. And, you know, they're like, hey, you want to watch The Adulterers? And she's like, what's that? And he kind of lets them in on their game of like, oh, you know, we dub over what they're doing. And so that's kind of how the episode ends, is they're the three of them are having a good time, like when they were kids, just playing The Adulterers. And the episode ends. And I thought it ended on a nice note. I think it's Bobby might be a little hurt. Like, I think he's one of those things where he would rather just be her friend than not have her at all. But you definitely know he wants more than that.
Yeah, I think we've all been there. Or at least me. I don't want to speak to anyone else, but I've been there. Where it's like,
I've been there.
You can't be with this person, but you really want to still be their friend. So, I feel you, Bobby. I'm there with you. I don't know. I've been really loving these kind of like, I don't want to say that like they're pull on your heartstrings. I don't know what the right term is, but I really love these moments, like the past two episodes that we watched. What have we watched? Four episodes now? So it's, you know, I'm losing track of time. So the past three episodes, I've really enjoyed that they've had these kind of like growth moments in these characters. You know, they're all discovering themselves. Even Hank at his like older age is still discovering stuff about himself, and I really am loving, like, I don't know, it just feels like a more mature King of the Hill. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, now that Bobby's older and Hank's older, I think we're going to see them mature more, which is nice. And it looks like Hank's learning more about opening up, which is something we've seen that he is just, I mean, that's almost a running joke in the show, is that he's just not good with emotions.
But I just feel like, you know, even back in the day, like, Hank's not good with emotions. It still felt like, well, we didn't really go anywhere. But now it feels like we're progressing and stuff. But it's not at the sacrifice of the jokes or the show not being funny. You know what I mean? Like, the show is still good, but they're still getting, like, this message across. Like, the characters are evolving. Mm-hmm. So I'm really loving, like, the shift in it. It feels like a great add-on to the original season.
And I think that's why people are starting to love the show. Like, I just read, I don't know, not too long ago, read something that said that King of the Hill was the highest viewed show or highest viewed adult animation show that Disney has had in 5 years, which is saying something.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying, like, this feels right, you know? Like, I don't want to throw Futurama under the bus because I love Futurama so much. But that, when they came back, it just didn't feel right. But this feels like, I'm glad we came back. Does that make sense? Sorry, yep. I keep saying that makes sense. But, you know, some shows take a hiatus, they come back, and you're like, well, maybe you shouldn't have come back. Like, you're not improving what we had. But I feel like, even just this little bit, I'm like, you've already improved. You're giving us a great second ending, you know?
Exactly. It's like they've made it as good as the original show, whereas you know, Futurama, and I don't mean to. I used to love Futurama, and I was very disappointed by the Hulu revival because it seemed like it wasn't Futurama. They were just trying to hit, like, all of the pop culture things that happened over the past few years. So they have an episode dedicated to binge watching. They have an episode dedicated to crypto mining and all that stuff. And it's just like, it's not, or there's an episode all about NFTs. And it was just like, this is not Futurama. This is some kind of pop culture slop or whatever. Whereas King of the Hill, you know, minus that first episode where they do just a major exposition dump, the episode, it still feels like King of the Hill, even though there's been, you know, a real life 15-year change and then in-universe 8-year change.
Yeah, it's just, this is doing it. Like, this is how you should bring a show back. You know, great ideas, you're moving the characters forward, you know, it's not at sacrifice of anything that's come before. The throwbacks are great because they're small and it's not like a whole episode was dedicated to a throwback. Like the karaoke song in this episode, it's not like this episode revolved around that first dance that they had.
Mm-hmm.
It just was like a small little throwback or little Easter egg and like kind of like a, hey, if you watch the original show, this is little, you know, thank you to you. And it's not like it evolved, like it wasn't like the whole show was about that or the whole episode was about that. So I can't recommend this, and I feel like if you're listening to this podcast, you're watching the show, but tell a friend King of the Hill's back. It's good.
Yeah, and you could even technically, I wouldn't recommend it, but you could theoretically, if you're a new watcher, start on season 14 because of the time skip. You would miss a lot of context, but because everything's kind of new again, so to speak, it wouldn't be terrible. Though, you should watch all 14 seasons is what you should be doing.
Yeah, I think if you're new to the King of the Hill world and you started on this season and you've gotten this far, go back. Go back and watch from the beginning. The animation is going to be a little rough, but the story is still really good. Like, you're going to get, like, really great storylines. It's going to be cool to see where these characters came from.
Exactly. And it's nice in this episode seeing, you know, Hank try to figure out, you know, his purpose in life, because that has been a huge thing that has defined him his whole life, is that he's always working, or his whole adult life anyways, that he's always working. You know, there was even that joke, the Little Horrors of Shop episode, where, you know, Buck comes in and he's like, Hank, when was the last time you took a vacation? And he's like, well, I took a day off when Bobby was born. I meant to tell you, but I came in that Saturday. So it just shows that, like, and then, like, he made a big deal about not being able to work for 2 weeks. So it just shows that Hank is just this person who defines himself with his job, and he just doesn't know what to do now that he doesn't have it. And now he's, like, learning how to deal with that. And then Bobby, you know, he's going from being a kid to a man who also at a young age is running a business and trying to make it successful and trying to also figure out who he is as a person. So it's a really good watch.
Oh yeah. I'm loving it. I feel like if you listen to our review on the first episode of the season, you'd be like, man, Jimmy's not gonna like this. Well, Jimmy likes it. I really love this. I can't wait to watch the rest of this season. I've been holding myself back. Every time we review it, I've just watched the episode, so I'm excited to see what's next and how it comes. And I feel like I'm gonna be sad when we're finished with this, because I'm like, when is the next? Is the next season coming out next year?
I don't know. Supposedly they've signed on for another season, at least one more season. But I feel like I might have read two somewhere. When it's gonna release, I have no idea. If I were a gambling man, I'd say sometime late next year, but it hasn't been stated yet.
Well, if Hulu, Disney, Fox, whatever, if you're listening to us, sponsor us, first of all. We would love it. Second, start making it. I think people are loving it. I'm loving it, so get on it.
Yep, exactly. Well, that's all I have on this episode. What about you, Jimmy?
Me too, but side note, everyone.
Yes.
I did check my Uber score. It is a 4.96. I have 1 4-star rating, and I don't know where it came from, but it saddens me.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes it just takes one or two bad ratings to kind of throw it off.
I know, but it is what it is. No five bananas for me, but nope, that's it. That's all I have for this episode, though.
Okay, well, join us next time as we talk about more King of the Hill. Until then, I am Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.